This goes to Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, Preston, P-R-E-S-T-O-N, N like November, P like practice, fax 989-583-1914, regarding Margo, M-A-R-G-O, middle initial A like Ann, House, H-O-U-S-E, date of birth 9-7 of 1943. Dear Miss Preston, this is a consultation for Mrs. House, who is a 78-year-old female who was sent for evaluation of elevated creatinine with progressive increase in this year. We have labs back as far as February 14th of 2019. Creatinine was 1.2 at that time with estimated GFR of 44. 1 year ago, August 8th of 2021, creatinine is 1.2. Most recently, it has ranged between 1.4 and 1.6, which would be between 31 to 36 estimated GFR. The patient has no current symptoms of chronic kidney disease, no nausea, vomiting, or dysphagia, no dizziness, no chest pain or palpitations, no cough, wheezing, or sputum production. She did have a cerebral vascular accident in August, 1 year ago, and a week prior to this. And that did leave her with left eye visual field deficit, and she's legally blind and unable to drive since that time. She's also got memory impairment, so her significant other accompanies her to the appointment and drives her, also is helpful with helping her remember things she has difficulty remembering. She does have pain in her back, also in some joints. She has a lot of symptoms of low blood sugar. She'll become really sweaty. Her vision changes, becomes blurry. And those symptoms completely resolve when she drinks orange juice. Did happen while she was in the waiting room today, and she was given a glass of orange juice and felt much better afterward. After she drinks orange juice, she reports she gets very sleepy, but that also passes. She's really not sure why she has low blood sugar reactions. She is not diabetic, and she's had hemoglobin A1C tests very regularly, and they are always in the 5 range, indicating normal blood sugars most of the time. She does not have a glucose monitor, so she's not sure what her sugar actually is when these episodes occur. Past medical history is significant for hypertension and the cerebrovascular accident a year ago, gastroesophageal reflux disease with a history of bleeding ulcers, colon polyps, eczema, hyperlipidemia, visual impairment, now completely legally blind according to after having the stroke, diverticulosis. She's had a history of hypokalemia, hypoglycemia, and the history of Bell's palsy, which affected the right side of her face, and now her right eyelid is droopy on that side. Past surgical history, she's had multiple colonoscopies. Most recently, she had one in February of this year with polypectomy, cholecystectomy, bilateral total knee replacements, lens implants, implant of loop recorder about 6 months ago, to look for atrial fibrillation, which was suspected as the cause of her stroke, although that has not been present for 6 months. And she believes she had a serious blood infection in 2010, requiring hospitalization and IV antibiotics for a long time. Social history, the patient is a widow, but she's living with her significant other. She quit smoking in 1980 and does not use alcohol or illicit drugs, and she's unable to drive. Family history is significant for heart disease and for cancer. Review of systems as stated above, otherwise negative. Drug allergies, no known drug allergies. Medications, she takes Norvasc 5 mg twice a day, Lipitor 80 mg daily, aspirin 81 mg daily, omeprazole 20 mg daily, potassium chloride 10 mL equivalent daily. Hydrochlorothiazide is 25 mg daily. Vitamin D3, 2,000 units once daily. Vitamin B12, 1,000 microgram daily. She uses triamcinolone cream, 0.1% as needed for eczema. And amoxicillin, she requires 4 capsules of 500 milligram capsules 1 hour prior to dental procedures. Physical examination, height is 65 inches, weight 188 pounds. Blood pressure, left arm sitting, large adult cuff is 124 over 70, pulse 85. Oxygen saturation is 95% on room air. Neck is supple. There are no carotid bruises, no jugular venous distension. Lungs are clear without rales, wheezes, or effusion. Heart is regular without murmur, rub, or gallop. Abdomen is soft, non-tender. No hepatosplenomegaly. No ascites. Extremities, there's no edema. Pulses are 2+, fetal pulses bilaterally with brisk capillary refill. She does have some drooping of the right eyelid, and the left nasal labial fold is more flattened than the right. And she does have the visual field cut on the left lateral eye area. Labs, most recent lab studies were done August 1st of 2022. Creatinine was 1.4, estimated GFR is 36. Albumin, 3.8. Calcium is 9.6. Sodium, 137. Potassium, 3.8. Carbon dioxide, 27. Phosphorus, 4.3. Intact parathyroid hormone is elevated at 146.2. Hemoglobin, 13.6 with normal white count and normal platelets. And 616, creatinine was 1.6, 524, 22, 1.4 creatinine. August 8 of 21, creatinine 1.2. These were previously reported. She did have elevated bilirubin levels starting in August of 2021, 2.0. August 8th, it was actually 1.4. 524, bilirubin 2.2. And 616, bilirubin is 2.6. Alkaline phosphatase 102, AST 30, and ALT 31. Those appear to be normal currently, but the bilirubin is elevated on a regular basis. Hemoglobin A1C most recently was 5.7, and since 2013, the highest the A1C was has been between 5.3 and 5.5. We don't have a recent urine analysis. We've asked the patient to collect one when we get the kidney ultrasound. So assessment and plan, stage 3B, chronic kidney disease. We suspect that's related to longstanding hypertension, but we are concerned about liver-related issues due to the elevated bilirubin levels. The patient reports she's had a normal liver ultrasound recently, so maybe that just needs to be monitored on a regular basis. She also has secondary hyperparathyroidism with normal calcium levels, and we will follow that with labs. So the patient has been scheduled for a kidney ultrasound with post-void bladder scan August 11th in Elma, and we'll get the urine analysis at that time. After that, we'll have her do labs every 3 months, which, again, will be in early October of this year. We've asked her to avoid all oral non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs except the aspirin. The low-dose aspirin is completely safe. But anything for pain, we prefer Tylenol use if needed. She'll follow a low-salt diet, and she's going to be rechecked in this office in the next 1 to 2 months. The patient was also evaluated and examined by Dr. Fuente. All care was coordinated with and directed and approved by him. Mary Stunner, CNP/Jose Fuente, MD.